This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the legend himself, Pete Jenkins, defensive line coach and all of 28 years.
Wait a minute now. Careful,
28
careful.
Years old, Pete. How about that?
Careful. I didn't know what you were going to say, Mike. Well, defensive line coach and
I'll cut you careful. A little bit of slack. I'll cut you some. They cut it with me, so I'm going to cut you some. Coach,
all right,
I know you always talk about, as a coach, you really a teacher. That's your job. If it's out on the practice field or during games, you're a teacher. And Bo Davis getting the job with the Saints. Now, he's had some experience before in the NFL with the Lions, and he was with Jacksonville for a year. But I know you've always praised Bo to me. And in doing an interview with Bo a few years back, I said, you know, who was the guy that influenced you the most? He said, see that little short guy with the white hair? That's him, Pete Jenkins. He's the one. So give us a little bit about Bo Jenkins, about Bo Davis, and about how well you think he will handle things at the NFL level, because it is a different type athlete now.
It is. I think, Mike, first of all, I think he's going to do very well. I was sad that he would leave LSU. But I was happy he did. He went to the Saints. You know, it was kind of a mixed bag with me, and it wasn't an easy decision for Bo. We've been talking about this over a week, and it was really funny, Mike. He called me, and it was about 10:30. And as you know, I'm usually asleep about at 10:30 at night. You know, but he woke me up, and he said, "Coach Pete, I need to talk to you about something." And he realized I was about half asleep, which I was, maybe whole asleep. But anyways, he said, "I'll call you in the morning." And we hung the phone up or put the phone down, you know, and I couldn't go to sleep. And I told Donna, I said, "Bo's got something on his mind." So I called him back and we talked. And we talked a couple of times about it last week. It wasn't, what I'm saying to you, though, Mike, it wasn't an easy decision for Bo. He put a lot of thought into it, and really, you know, he was excited. But he the boy played here, and he loves LSU, and it was a tough decision. He'll do very well, though, Mike. He gets along with the players good. I talked to Coach Kelly Monday, and he told me, he said, you know, Bo did, under the circumstances, Bo did a tremendous job here. And he said, you know, Bo, the players really responded to Bo, and he said, you know, he did a really good job. I don't want to lose him. And Bo and I talked about Coach Kelly. He really liked, you know, he shared my feelings about Kelly. Kelly was really good to me, Mike. And from what Bo tells me, Kelly's been really good to him. So I think it was a decision. It wasn't an easy decision for Bo to make. And I said, "What about the money?" And he said, "The money's pretty close. Not even factoring in the money on the decision." So, but he will do good. I'm excited for him to be at the Saints, and I know he'll do a good job with those guys.
Coach,
now, you asked me about something else. So he is a Bo's kind of a rough looking guy. He's not a guy that's immediately friendly. It takes Bo a few minutes to kind of warm up to people and everything. But once you get to know the guy, there's a lot of depth there, boy. And there's a lot of he's just a good person. He don't hang that phone up. He doesn't say, "Coach Pete, I love you." And, you know, I mean, he is, that's just kind of the way he was. And his dad was military and was retired and taught ROTC. And Bo was kind of raised in a regimented home. His mama was a teacher. And they were both gone now. But they were good people. I enjoyed being around them when I recruited him. And, you know, I'm very proud of what Bo has become. He's been a good father. He got lucky like I did and married a good gal. And he's been a good husband and a good family guy. So I'm proud for him, and I'm proud for the Saints, Mike.
Kevin Peoples is a guy you and I have spoke about. And a lot of people maybe don't know him. I think he'll play a little bit, certainly more prominent role coaching along the defensive line. But you've really praised Kevin Peoples for what he's been able to do with the edge rushers. And you saw it last year with Savion and then Braden Swinson. Listen, you could have gave me five names. Swinson, I wouldn't have been on that list.
He came out of nowhere. I was on the team with him the year before and hardly knew the guy. I think Kevin, you know, Kevin coaches the ends, and he's a very accomplished football coach, Mike. I mean, Kevin, I think Kevin's one of the best in the country. I told you, Mike, I said to Coach Kelly, you get those two hired, and you'll have two as good ones as anybody in the United States of America. And as you know, I travel around. I know a lot of college coaches because of the opportunity people give me to come to schools and work and everything. So, but Kevin is good. I'm really happy. I talked with him at length today, and they're doing a good job. I know guys that they're interviewed. They've been Zooming interviews with people this week, and they're going to do a good job. They're going to do a thorough job of getting a replacement for Bo. I tell you another thing, Mike, about Bo. Bo brings some quiet toughness with him, okay? And by that, I mean he is not, you know, he just has a way about him. Coach Saban told me he lost Bo to Texas, and then he got Bo back. And he told me once, Coach Saban told me once, he said, "We have been a tougher defense since Bo has been back." And you wouldn't think that about he's not a rah-rah guy or what. It's just the demands. And I tell you, Cochran, you know the name Cochran, that he just got the West Alabama job?
Yeah.
He was a strength coach here at LSU, and then he went to Alabama and was the strength coach over there for years. And he told me a story, Mike, about Bo's first day back at Alabama, coming back from Texas. They were doing, at the end of the program, they were doing a tug-of-war, competitive tug-of-war, with the offensive and defensive line. And Cochran told me that the offensive line embarrassed the defensive line and had been doing it on a daily basis. And he said after they competed, Bo called the defensive line over. And he quietly said to him, "That is the last time that is ever going to happen." And Cochran was laughing about that the offensive line had hardly won one since that time. He just brings some toughness with him, and he'll bring the same thing to the Saints.
Coach, so you can eliminate one name off that list, and that would be you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because listen, I told Charlie I might have to leave. I'll go drive you around in the golf cart. I mean, listen, I think we could maybe get it done.
Hey, let me tell you, Mike, it's been so funny today. It's been so funny. I've had texts. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. You know the boy that played for us, Makai Wingo?
Yes, Makai Wingo. Yeah.
First text I got this morning, he said, "Coach, get them cleats back out. LSU needs you. You got to come back again." I wrote him back and I said, "Mackay, trust me, I ain't doing it. The tank is too damn empty. I can't do it. I can't do it again." But I bet you I got at least six texts today, people telling me, you know, joking with me about coming back. And I know that's a pattern in my life, but I don't think I can do it this time, Mike. I think I'm too far gone. So this boy, Taj Lupoy, who is the defensive coordinator in Oregon, he writes me. It is what he wrote me this morning at 10 o'clock. And for the fifth time, the legend returns. Pete Jenkins, next D-line coach at LSU. Let's go. And I wrote back, "Ha ha, not this time, my friend."
That's a great line. That's a great one.
I think I'm gone too far down the road, Mike.
But Pete, listen, I'll be honest with you. I got about four texts, people saying this. Pete, I was like, wait a minute. I said, I will ask him, but I'm going to tell you probably a 98% no on that, because I know you and I had talked one time, and God bless him, Ed Daniels was with us, and he was like, "Pete, are you ready to say never coach again?" And you said, "Ed, no comment." And that was like, wait a minute.
Oh, boy, I tell you. You know, I was the oldest. I got a friend named Rick Trickett. You might have heard of him. He's coached for years. He coached at LSU 1 year under Coach Saban, but didn't stay but 1 year. But Trickett called me, and we worked at Auburn, and we worked at LSU together. He called me, and he said, "Hey, you just took my damn title away." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I was the oldest position coach in the NCAA until your ass came back to work." "Don't worry, Rick. You can get it back as soon as the season's over."
Coach.
There ain't no place I love on earth any better than I do LSU. But the answer to that is anything I can do to help, I will do. But being the damn full-time coach, I can't do that again.
Coach, I know you spent a lot of time at University of Georgia and close with Kirby Smart there. Man, the one thing I give those guys, one, they can play ball and they're talented. But when they go to this combine stuff, they wipe the slate clean. I mean, you got some big-time athletes on that defensive side of football. Oh, my heavens. And those guys, I don't know who's training them for the combine, but they do one hell of a job.
Yeah, and they've been really blessed with some great athletes over. You know, you and I were talking about prior to the Super Bowl, and you know, Mike, I thought about it during the Super Bowl. I said, you know, I wonder if Mike remembers that conversation we had, because let me tell you, Philadelphia has done a hell of a job of loading that roster, man. And I said to you, Mike, their offensive and defensive lines are, you know, they're better than the combination of both those sides of the ball. They're better than anybody in the NFL. And, you know, you and I mentioned also the kid from Milton Williams, the kid from
Louisiana Tech,
He had a hell of a night, did he not?
He sure did.
I mean, he showed off in that ball game. And he's a kid that I have had the opportunity to work with a couple of summers, you know, and I hope I get a chance to work with him again. But he was kind of unheralded guy. You didn't know much about him, but he has really become a dominant player in the league. And Rick, you know, Coach Reed, I texted him after the game, and Donna said, "What are you going to say?" I said, "Hell, I don't know what to say. You know, I just wrote sorry, Coach, because it's the only thing I could think." But he texted me, interesting comment that he texted me back. He said, "You know, I think in the long run, this is going to help us. I think we'll play like a hungrier team." I do think that the Eagles were hungrier on that night. And it showed in the game. I thought they played with more hunger, more want to, than Kansas City did. And, you know, I think Kansas City got a little spoiled and a little fat and happy and everything, you know, but he'll get it fixed. I say fixed, they lost one game and all that, but that was his reply to me. I thought you'd find that interesting.
Yeah,
it might be a blessing in disguise.
One of the things with this coach, I think it goes back to the fundamentals of football. Doesn't matter who you got at quarterback. If you don't win up front, you got no shot. None.
You don't. It doesn't matter. I mean, you have the greatest, and that may be the greatest quarterback in ball. But, you know, he was ineffective because their tackles, especially, boy, they just couldn't keep them off of him. You know, it reminded me, Mike, of the year they lost the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay. If you'll remember, it was the same thing. Their tackles, Tampa Bay's edge guys, just kill their tackles. And he had a difficult time in that ball game. This one, and what impressed me about Philly, their tackles, their inside rushers, did a really great job of maintaining lane discipline to the quarterback. So the edge rushers would make Mahomes step up, and that's when he got sacked a lot, when he stepped up, because the tackles were so disciplined in their rush lanes. And, it wasn't even close. I mean, from the very outset, I thought the Eagles was playing harder and hungrier than Kansas City was.
Coach, before we let you run, I remember when we had you on last summer to talk about Bo making his return to LSU. You mentioned a story where he was at Texas and the Texas kids were kind of cutting up after a blowout loss, and Bo Davis was the one that stepped up and really kind of unleashed on him a little bit. I wanted to,
he did.
Yeah, and I want to get your thoughts. Like, do you have any other stories with Coach Davis? And because the one thing that keeps popping up every time you look up Coach Davis and this hire for the Saints is respect. Everyone respects Coach Davis. Everyone that knows football respects Coach Davis, and it's a slam dunk hire for the Saints.
Yeah, ain't no question. I think he's one of the better ones around. So when he went to Detroit, Paul Pasolini, who's a name in football, you guys might be know who that is. He was a coordinator at Detroit, and he called me and he asked me to recommend somebody who I told him right away. I said, "Now look, if you want somebody to be pretty and elegant and get on TV and look good doing and all that kind of stuff," I said, the guy I'm going to give you probably is not the guy, because he don't enjoy stuff like that. But if you want somebody to win the line of scrimmage against the run on the goal line and in short yardage and do a good job of pressuring the quarterback and doing a good job of staying disciplined in his lanes, Bo Davis is the guy you want to hire. Well, Coach Saban was trying to get Bo back at Alabama. And Matt Patricia would not release him. He had 1 year, and Matt had 1 year left in Detroit. They were about to fire Matt, and everybody knew that. But Matt had one guy on defense, and that was Bo. Paul had retired, and he had Bo. And Coach Saban called Matt personally and asked him to release Bo. And do you know Matt would not release him? He would not release him. He kept Bo there, and of course, they got fired at the end of the season. But he everywhere he's been, he has done a good job. And, Mike, you're going to enjoy watching him in Thibodeau in June, too.
Hey, I thought about that. I told Charlie, because a college coach, you can't come to the Louisiana line camp.
That's right.
These NCAA
That's
rules.
Right.
But as a pro coach, you can. So that opens it up. Last question for you. One of your guys, too, he just got on with Buffalo, Ryan Nielsen. And Ryan's a guy that I know you've been real close to for many, many years. He was defensive line coach here with the Saints. Yeah. He went with Atlanta,
and
Jacksonville.
Did a good job, Mike, and did a damn good job, too. He really did. I was happy for him. I got involved in that one a little bit because there were two teams. The Bills were one of them, which, you know, I worked with McDermott. McDermott was calling me, trying to help him hire Ryan. The other team, the defense coordinator on the other team, and I were real close, and he was trying to hire Ryan. And so McDermott won out on the thing, but I think it's going to really help the Bills. It may be the thing that kind of gets them over the top, because that boy is a good teacher, boy. He is really a good technician, and I was excited for him and everything. So, Yeah, I was really happy for that, Mike. And he, by the way, Mike, he kicked me right afterwards and told me, said, "Get ready, I'm coming back to work at camp."
Okay, because we've missed him the last couple years.
His wife, unfortunately, has been dealing with some health problems.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that.
And that's the reason Ryan hadn't been to camp. But he told me, in fact, he told me he's going to bring his little boy with him and everything. But he'd be there, and Bo will be there. So that'll be two real good additions to, Bo worked there three years ago.
Yes, he did.
And Ryan has missed the last 2 years. I'll be happy to get those guys back, though. They'll be a real asset to the camp, both of them.
Coach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon, man. Always thrilled to have you on and all your insights. And when you decide to come out of retirement, let me go. Let me know about it. I'll get the golf cart. I'll drive the golf cart. Charlie can run sports talk sort of by himself for the 2 hours.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, y'all stay tuned and see, and I'll let you guys know, okay?
All right. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Pete Jenkins, legendary defensive line coach, and boy, you talk about a connect the dots guy. That's a connect the dots guy.
He's got connections with everyone.
Everybody, and they calling Pete, and sometimes he'll tell me, "Mike, hang on. I got this damn head coach want to talk to me about something." He said, "I'll call you right back." And then he calls me back about 3 hours later.